This is the last of the series of my messages at Paul's letter to the churches. It's the 28th day of August, the year of our Lord, 211. And we're going to talk about why we don't give up. And I based it on 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, if you want to grab your Bibles and open to that. In your normal day, is perseverance a word that you hear a lot about in our culture? Is that something you hear a lot about? How about persistence? These concepts are biblical terms that once upon a time in our culture were considered valuable. Today's culture doesn't necessarily present them in the same way. A lot of our culture is live easy, live quick. It should all go your way. And if it's hard, just give up. And, you know, when you talk about the Christian life from a biblical perspective, have you looked at the Bible and seen that the life of a Christian is supposed to be easy and without challenges or without problems? Or have you seen that what often is displayed in the Bible is that because you're a believer, there will be difficulties, there will be challenges, there will be hard times that come your way. It's all a part of the process of God developing us into the character qualities of His Son. When you look at the life of Jesus, it wasn't a life of ease. It wasn't a life without challenges and difficulties. So when you and I face the challenges that all of us do, at your house, it may not be the same as at my house with physical health issues. It may be financial issues at your life, at your house, or it may be marital strife, or it may be another area in your life. But there's always going to be challenges in that. So have you noticed, excuse me, that Paul often asks us to think about the purpose and the plan for our life? That he actually encourages in his letters to the churches and to you and I that we have a purpose in life, that we have a clear plan for life. Does your mind ever go to the thought about the eternal rewards or the prize you will receive at the end of the physical life? Do you think about that regularly? It's not something I think about a lot. As I studied these passages, I realized that it's an important thing. The reward that we get at the end of this physical life, quite honestly, if he gives me a good handshake and says, "Good job, boy, you did okay," I'll be happy. It'd be really nice if he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But I don't on a regular basis think about that in daily life. Do you? Paul encourages us in this passage that should be something we think about. We think about finishing well. We think about getting this prize. We think about getting this eternal reward at the end of our physical life. Now, the truth is, Satan is going to attack. And we will have difficult times in our lives. But God's promise of an eternal reward can be counted on no matter what our experience is now. So as we go through the challenges and the fears and the struggles and the difficulties of life today, tomorrow, this next week, the eternal reward, if we stay faithful, is something we can count on. Now, I'm using this book by Greg Dogden, Discipleship Essentials and the Triad that I'm involved in. And summer has kind of wreaked havoc in us getting together with that. But as a part of that study, we did a study that led us into an inductive Bible study process. And it uses a scientific method of investigation that we start with the data in the Bible, and then from the text we draw some conclusions, some meaning, and some application. And in our training, and in our study, and in our developing our character, it's important for us to have a Bible study method. not just read the Bible on a daily basis, but actually on your own, study it. I had a friend email me or text me actually. He says, hey, can I have one of your yellow sheets of your notes? Because oftentimes what will happen is I read the Bible, I'll take a yellow pad, and I'll work through a personal Bible study. And he was curious about my interpretation and my experience in Corinthians. So I passed those yellow pages on to him. But it's essential that you and I have a method of study in our life. And I think this is a good one. So the process starts with six good questions that any investigator would ask to gather information. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And we take this inductive study, and it's a three-step process where we observe the text, we draw some interpretation, and then we try to apply that. There's application in our life. So let's do that with 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. So what does the Bible say? The overview is we read the text. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24, it says, You do not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way that you get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do not get a crown that will last, but they do it to get a crown that will last forever. You'd think I hadn't read those before, the way I'm having trouble with them. In verse 26, it says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Verse 27 says, no, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. So as we look at an inductive study on that, here's the six questions that we would ask. Who are the main characters and how are they described? What's happening in the text? When do these events occur? Where do these events occur? Why do these events occur? And how do these events happen? So you ask yourself these six questions after reading the passage. So the first one is, who are the main characters and how are they described? So it says there, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So here we have runners and we have winners are the two that are described. When you look at that passage, would you consider yourself a runner or would you consider yourself a winner? There are some people that I know that have a winner's attitude. They expect to win, to not just compete, but they really expect to win. Now, as you live the Christian life, as you run this race on a daily basis, do you expect to win? Or are you just running? You're just an also run. How do you look at it? So, everyone who competes in these games goes into strict training. So who is not included in everyone? If the passage says everyone, Paul's writing to the church, everyone goes into strict training, then who is not included in everyone? So we are to be in strict training. That's the bottom line. Now, why would I, for a series of messages over the last few weeks, lead you through an inductive Bible study on these passages? It's because you and I should be in some type of training. When I do 1st and 2nd Timothy starting next week, I'll do a different pattern of study in the Scriptures. It won't be inductive, because maybe inductive isn't something you like. But the point is, I want you to be involved in training and discipline in pursuing a goal in Scriptures. So, you're in strict training. Are there spectator seats in the Christian life? Are we allowed to just sit in the grandstands and watch the game and the Christian life? Or are we all called to be participants? I watched part of the Bears game last night. And it's clear that there are people on the field and there are people who are watching. And it becomes a pattern in our life to have a spectator mentality. And in the Christian life, to develop a spectator mentality. I did notice as I watched the preseason game that there were some players that played very well who don't have a contract yet. But yet, they're showing up every day for practice. And they're training well. And they played in the preseason game and they played very well. Even they don't have a contract signed. And then there were others who they talked about they hoped would sign a contract for the Bears and come play with them by the time of the regular season. And I thought, doesn't matter how good they are. If they don't want to be a part of the team, then I don't know if I'd give them a multi-million dollar contract. You know, and there's people who expect to get paid, aren't in training, show up for training camp, who haven't been exercising through the year, and they don't seem to be as good of competitors to me as the ones who work out every day and show up for practice and play very well in the game. But you and I as Christians aren't supposed to have spectator seats. It's clear when you read the Old Testament, there is no retirement age in the Christian faith. You don't get to a certain point in time and then you just sit back and live off your retirement. You've done your part. No, you live this life, you compete well all the days of your life. Now it's obvious that a number of us aren't 30 years old anymore, 20 years old. We don't compete at the same level that we used to. But we should be in training and we should be competing as well as we can. Now, therefore, the Bible says, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. So what's Paul's example to us here? What is Paul saying to us in this passage? That he's in this fight. He's got an example for us to run. Do you ever experience that the ways of God and the ways of the world don't line up? There's a current trend in the ways of the world that are teaching our children that everybody who plays is a winner. Everybody who participates, it's all the same. You're all the same. That nobody is better than anybody else. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets an award. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you run hard and you train hard, but not everybody is at the same skill level. But you still participate. But not everybody is going to be a winner. Not everybody is going to get the prize. As you look at the end of Paul's scripture there, he's competing well so that in the end he hopes that he's not disqualified. He's preaching the gospel, but he's hoping that his life will not in some way exclude him from the prize. It's not everybody wins. We've got to compete well. We've got to follow Paul's example. So, what's happening? What do you see Paul trying to explain to the church in Corinth and to the church in Colossae? Can you see Paul being example as how to compete in the Christian life and how to train and compete well? So, what's the point of training? Is there a point to training? Is there a race day that comes and you gotta be ready? I have friends who were at the World Series of Drag Racing this weekend, and they've prepared their cars for a long period of time to run this race in the World Series of Drag Racing at Cordova. And so you prepare a long time to run that race. There was my pictures were flashing on today as we were waiting for Chelsea to get there. My screensaver is my pictures. And there were pictures of my daughter competing in her first ever triathlon this spring. She ran a lot of days. She biked a lot of days. She swam a lot of days to be ready for that triathlon. So you prepare a lot of days for race day. And Paul's saying that there's going to be a day when you're going to be in the fight. And you've got to prepare. As we finished Ephesians, you've got to dress in the armor of God every day. You've got to prepare with the weapons, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. You've got to train every day because there is a day that there will be a fight. And you need to be ready for that. So that's what training is all about. When do these events occur? So when is training day? When is race day? When is the fight? You don't really know. But we do need to be in training and in a program of Bible study so that we're spiritually ready. We need to be in physical training so we're physically ready. Even in the weakened physical state that my wife and I find ourselves in, we still make an honest effort to do physical exercise every day. If you don't use it, you lose it. So even when you're sick, you have to get up and go. There were pictures that flashed up of when I was in the hospital. And people said, well, maybe you don't want to show people that. But there's pictures in my screensaver where I'm pushing a wheelchair with all of these electric things attached to me. I'm up walking the wards. My son and I were in Texas, and we were walking late at night. I was pushing a wheelchair, and when I got tired, I would get in it, and he would push me home. And there was another wheelchair in the hall, and there's a scene in a movie called Days of Thunder where two guys get in these wheelchairs, and they race through the hospital. And so my son and I were saying at 3 o'clock in the morning, how about you get in that chair, I get in this chair, and I'll race you back to my bed. And I said, now you gotta give me quite a bit of head start, you know. And when I told my doctors the next morning that we had talked about doing it, they just completely came unglued. There was a half a dozen of them in there, and they were saying, did you do that? And Chris looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, you know, should we tell them the truth? I said, well, no, we didn't, but we thought about it serious. And they said, oh, don't do that. When's the fight? When's the race? You don't really know, but you know you need to be in strict training every day. So, number four, where do these events occur? Are these events for a church group or are they open to all comers? See, it's my belief that Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to the believers. We need to prepare. We need to be ready to complete. I also believe that the world is watching. The world is watching what we do, how we live. We need to prepare and train every day to live out this resurrection life of Jesus Christ that He's given us. So, winning a race requires purpose and discipline. Paul uses this illustration to explain the Christian life takes hard work, takes self-denial. It takes grueling preparation. That's not what a lot of teachers and churches are going to say to you this morning. Don't worry about it. Don't work at it. There's no need. God's done it all. You just sit back. I think that's a deception. I think as Christians, we're running towards a heavenly reward. And no matter what physical state we're in, physical condition, no matter what age we are, no matter what maturity level we are spiritually, we still need to be training, competing, pressing towards that eternal reward, that eternal goal. So, the essentials of biblical discipleship are prayer, Bible study, worship to equip us to run with vigor and stamina. We need to be involved in prayer. We need to be involved in spiritual warfare prayer. We need to be training in our stamina. We don't merely watch from the grandstands. We don't just get out and jog a couple laps every so often. I'm always amazed at the weekend exercise program that people have. You never see these people exercising during the week, but on Sunday or on Saturday they go for a run. You know, once a week they're good. Many Christians do that. Well, I'll show up for church on Sunday morning. Okay, now I'm good. I've done my exercise program. I endured the sermon at church. I sang my worship songs. I listened to the prayer requests. Okay, I'm good for the week. That's not the way it's supposed to go. It's supposed to be that every day you're in the Scriptures and you're reading them for God to reveal Himself, for the Holy Spirit to impact you. Every day you're in prayer, not just a prayer list of running through what you have to say, but you're in a prayer life where you're listening to the voice of God. You're expecting to hear from God. And you find yourself singing worship songs as you go through the day. And some people put their iPhone on that to do that. Some people turn it on their stereos. Some of us just sing in our head and keep our mouth closed because it's more pleasant for the people around us if we just do it in our head. But you should be involved in worship every day. So we train diligently so that our spiritual progress is making headway and our eternal rewards depend on that. So why do these events occur, number five? It's clear why they occur in this scripture. Why is one of those things that I don't very often let my mind go to on my daily regimen around my house? I just don't let myself think, why is this going on in Julie's life? Why am I struggling with this? Why is this happening to people I love and care about? I don't let myself go there. I just don't let myself think about it. But in this passage, it's clear. It's to get a prize. That's why we do these things. That's why we train. It's to get a crown that will last forever. It's to get the eternal prize. And I'm not exactly sure what that prize is, but I know that there is a reward. And so I want to encourage you to be with me every day striving to prepare so we're ready when we meet the Lord. There is a judgment day coming. And when you look at the earthquakes on the East Coast, when you look at the hurricanes, when you look at the tsunamis, when you look at the devastations, and you look at Revelations, when you look at this one world faith that is encompassing so many of these countries that Chelsea was showing us, when you look at the monetary things that are going on in Europe and the 10 kingdom nations there and the money that's going on in that, when you look at that and compare it with Revelations, we really don't have a long time to get ready, folks. It's coming soon. And so we need to live life like Judgment Day is today, this afternoon, tomorrow. You may have appointments this Wednesday like me, but it may be Judgment Day this Wednesday. And you want to be ready and you want to win the prize. So number six, how do these events happen? Self-discipline requires an honest look at our strengths and our weaknesses and then an emphasis on our weaknesses. So we know that there are strengths in our life. We know that there are weaknesses. And we need to develop the areas in life where we're weak. And we need to continue to pursue, the areas where we're strong. So we went from observation to interpretation. What does this passage mean? So what does this all mean to you and me in a church? What does this letter to Corinth, this letter to Kalita, what does it mean to you? To run well, to run to get the prize, to train, to not run aimlessly but with meaning and purpose. What does that mean to you? Are you living a life with a winner's attitude? Are you living a life where you're expecting to win? Or are you just sitting watching life go by? Which one? Are you running in the game and fighting the kingdom fight, or are you just sitting in the grandstands watching life go by? Are you active? You don't have to be running all over the world like some young people get to do in France and Europe and go to Morocco and have good coffee. You can do that in spiritual warfare in your home, in your backyard, in your Cornfield County residence. You can be actively fighting the kingdom fight, the spiritual warfare that's necessary, but you need to have an attitude that we are going to win. We Christians are going to win. Because we've read Revelations, we know that our conquering king is coming back soon, and he's going to straighten out this mess. And we need to be prepared and trained ready, not just watching. So, we go to application. What will you do as a result of God speaking to you through Paul's words and mine? It's always kind of awkward when I write that down. I say, Paul's words are speaking to you from God. My words speaking to you from God. That's always awkward for me to do. But what are you going to do with the Word of God? As a man of God tries his best to explain that to you. So, what are you going to do? Will you run with a winner's attitude? Will you remember the prize, the crown, the reward that God has for those who run hard and well? Will you improve the intensity of your spiritual training and pattern because of what you've seen today? What will you do to apply this to your life? I pray that it's not something that you just endured the 27 minutes of the message, but it's something you actually will apply in your life. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward as I lead us in a closing prayer. So let's go to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this day and we confess that you are the creator of all things. And this morning, we run towards you. We seek you in prayer and in Bible study and in worship. And I pray that each one of us will sense a call on our life to train this week, to prepare, to be ready. I don't know what the prize is that you give us, but I know that I want to run well so that when we embrace, there's no regrets. There's no, I wished I would have. Oh, or I could have. I wished I would have this, that, or the other. But this day, this week, my heart would be sold out to you. And I pray that for all those who listen to me in this building, and all those who listen on the World Wide Web, that we would have an impact on people's lives and that they would come to you and draw closer. So we pray for salvation. We pray that people would begin the race by coming to you in salvation. And we thank you, Lord, for making that possible. And today we enjoy that and we ask you to save more people. And humbly, we ask you to use us to do it. And use our little church here to be a candle light in the midst of this dark world. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.